Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
And welcome to Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. So glad you could join us. I'm Lance Meadow. John Schmelk will be joining me a little bit later on, but we are taking your phone calls over the next 60 minutes, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Also, head to Twitter, use hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W, as the Giants have their normal day off on Tuesday, and they are now going to start to prepare and look ahead to the Eagles matchup on Sunday as they will return to MetLife Stadium after losing two in a row on the road, combined with the loss at Dallas and Denver, as the Giants still seeking their first victory on the season, and it's an Eagles team that they know quite well, though is now under the guidance of Chip Kelly, who has implemented his fast-paced tempo offense, and they have now used LeSean McCoy a lot more than they have in seasons past. He's coming off a 158-yard performance against the Chiefs. Was contained for the most part against the Denver Broncos, but that game was really out of hand very early as Philadelphia was not able to punch it in the red zone. They had multiple trips there. They also gave up a special teams touchdown to Trindon Holiday. So similar issues that the Giants came about when they played the Broncos were revealed in this Eagles matchup. So you have two teams that have had their fair share of issues. The Eagles have struggled on defense, specifically stopping the run, also in terms of containing the pass. They have really resorted back to their old tricks from last season, where the Eagles defense struggled immensely. And Michael Vick has not had great protection with respect to his offensive line, but I'm not going to go the route of saying this is a great matchup for the Giants, because the Giants have had trouble getting their pass rush going. Right now, it's just a matter of getting people healthy. That's probably their biggest goal for Sunday. Can they get this offensive line intact? Can Chris Snead, can David Boss, can at least one of them return? Will David Deal take on a role, assuming he could get another week of practice under his belt? That's at least the number one goal. Then you have Aaron Ross and Jaron Hosley nursing injuries in the secondary. Hosley the hamstring, Aaron Ross the back. Justin Tuck had the neck stinger, but he was okay. He did return for that Chiefs game, so I don't foresee him missing any time. They may hold him back a bit in practice, but there's no reason to think that he will not be able to suit up on Sunday. So a couple of injuries that the Giants are dealing with, and then there's also the Will Hill factor. He has officially served his four-game suspension. They will likely activate him. Nothing official yet. They're going to have to make a roster move. At this point, it's just speculation. Normally, you'd probably do something in your secondary. It wouldn't make sense to bring a safety back into the mix and cut a defensive lineman or cut somebody on offense. So probably they're going to make a move in the secondary. Tremaine McBride, perhaps, is one guy that they could cut ties with, depending if they want to go the route of a corner or they may go the route of a safety. But somebody probably in the secondary is going to be somebody that they're going to have to release or make a transaction in order to free up space for Will Hill. But they've got bigger issues than just the secondary, let's face it. You know, the Giants defense held its own against Kansas City, gave that offense every which opportunity to get in a position to win this ballgame. Unfortunately, the offense could not take advantage. Multiple three and outs. You're not going to win ball games when you turn the ball over and you have multiple three and outs when you force turnovers and takeaways on the other end. And that was a huge storyline, plus their struggles on third down. It's got to get better. 5 for 37 over the last three games is not going to cut it. You need the execution to improve. And you hope that it starts on Sunday, because they're right now in an 0-4 hole and they can't afford to get that hole any larger. I know this defense is still wide open. And if everything falls into place this weekend and Dallas loses to Denver, Giants beat the Eagles, they very well could be just one game behind first place. But right now, it's not about the standings. It's about gaining some momentum, gaining some positives to take with you throughout the rest of this season. And it hopefully will start at home against the Philadelphia Eagles. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's open up the lines, and we start with Sharon in Irvington, New Jersey. Sharon, what's happening?
I'm a pretty sad Giant fan right about now, you know, first of all. They're saying that will he be, it's not certain if he's going to be playing or not, or...
Well, no one's guaranteed any playing time during the course of the week.
Okay.
I think that it's likely that they'll activate him to the roster.
Okay.
I can't tell you X amount of snaps. I would assume that they'd have to see how he looks in practice to determine what type of role
they'll have. I was thinking the same thing. And they pick up this other player, Connor, to replace Hynoski.
Correct.
They said he wouldn't be able to be activated or play till this week. Well, he be playing this week? Because we need all the help we can get.
Absolutely.
And the O-line needs to wake up and stop sleeping and get it together. Because Eli is he's getting slaughtered. He's really getting slaughtered back there. And I don't want to see the game with the Eagles in MetLife Stadium because New York fans are horrendous. They will start booing and they might even start throwing stuff. And I wouldn't put it past them. I don't agree with it, but I don't put it past them.
They demand.
I've seen it happen.
I've seen it happen as well. And Jared, appreciate the phone call. They demand a high product. That's what it comes down to. And you hope that Giants fans are not going to be too rowdy this weekend. But getting back to the topic at hand, Sharon brought up John Connor. Connor, the former Bengals fullback, who you may have seen featured on HBO's Hard Knocks, was signed last week to replace Henry Hynoski, who's on IR. Connor probably will play a bigger role this week because he knows the playbook a little bit more than he did in previous games, such as the Kansas City Chiefs contest. So they could definitely use a fullback in the mix to be an extra offensive lineman, somebody that could open holes for the running game. The running game took steps in the right direction. Let's not overlook that. They were productive in this Chiefs game, but there's still room for improvement. I think having a productive fullback in the mix is somebody that can ignite that ground game. And Connor has proven, no matter where he's played, whether it be with the Jets, whether it be with the Bengals, they've gotten those running games going. So that's at least somewhat of a bright spot for the Giants. But the biggest goal for him this week is get more and more comfortable with the playbook, understand the personnel, and then they'll be confident to throw him in the mix so that he can help hopefully jumpstart this offense. But now, as Sharon pointed out, it starts with the offensive line. You know, you could sit here, you could talk about the play calling needs to improve, and I'm not necessarily going to argue with that. Hakeem Nicks needs to make catches, and that's true too. Eli Manning's decision-making needs to get better. All of these are valid points. There are not any stretches of the imagination. But if you don't have somebody winning the battle at the line of scrimmage, somebody giving your quarterback time, somebody opening holes, and I'm talking about a unit, five guys all on the same page, you don't stand a chance. And that's what the biggest storyline has been in these first four games, the inability for the Giants to win the battle at the line of scrimmage. Bad teams across the league, one of the most common factors is the offensive line. Look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, for example. They're struggling with the same issues that the Giants have this season. They can't protect Ben Roethlisberger. They can't run the football. Yes, it was somewhat of a bright spot with Le'Veon Bell returning against the Vikings, but prior to that, they couldn't get much of anything going. And you look at the standings right now, the other teams that are either at the bottom or have failed to gain consistency week in and week out, you probably can point to the offensive line. Philadelphia's had issues with the offensive line. They're 1-3. How about the Green Bay Packers? They've had trouble with the offensive line protecting Aaron Rodgers and also running the football. 1-2. The list goes on and on. The Rams have had trouble with their offensive line. They're 1-3. Tampa Bay, 0-4. You know, it's a common theme in this league. You don't win the battle at the line of scrimmage, you're not going to have a chance to put W's on the board. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. You can follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow. One word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Let's head back to lines. We got Mark in New York City. Mark, what's happening?
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to point out a couple of things. 2012 last year, the defense was dead last, and I thought Jerry Reese did a good job of adding some pieces to the defense to help it make it respectable. I thought the schedule last year was probably one of the toughest schedules as a Giants fan. I don't remember one of the last times I've seen a brutal schedule such as that. I already know the NFC East already beats up on each other. To see the schedule that we had last year, we had to play Pittsburgh and Atlanta's schedule. I mean, division. I thought that was really brutal, but I didn't see the O-line crumbling then. So I'm not trying to speak up for anybody when I say, you know, I can't sit here and blame the O-line on like a Jerry Reese or any coach or anything. That was a really tough year last year. And even with that tough year, we went 9-7. I didn't think the schedule was all that tough this year, and yet we can't block. And I already knew we couldn't block on the run. But, I mean, you can't block on the pass. That was like that's a shock. You know, that was like the one thing that we could do. And I would like to see if you know, one day possible in any of the next two drafts coming up, I would like to see Jerry Reese's fingerprints on the O-line and special teams, because I feel like no matter how hard we fight, it just seems we just sink further and further. And these two elements of football doesn't seem to pan out for us. It doesn't seem to pan out for us on special teams. I mean, I'm not expecting them to, you know, to work miracles, but in the long run, it just seems like the more and more we put the special teams out there, just eventually they're going to break on us. And then I have to say the same thing for the defense, who is playing. In my opinion, I understand that they're losing a lot of points, giving up a lot of points. They are playing lights out, in my opinion. Like, those games are only close because they will not bend, they will not break, but they will get tired, and eventually that's what will get you. You know, there's only, you know, 60 minutes of football. If you're out there close to 40 minutes, I don't expect you to hold up like you did the first 10. So I was just wondering what you would like to elaborate on that, and thanks for taking my call.
All right, Mark, thanks so much for weighing in. Greatly appreciate it. And listen, nobody's criticizing the defense, or nobody should be criticizing the defense, because as Mark pointed out, and as we've been saying week in and week out, that's been the one facet of strength for this team. It's been keeping them in ball games. It's a big reason why they were competitive with the Broncos deep into the third quarter, and they were competitive against the Chiefs. There have been breakdowns on special teams, and it cost them in this previous game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Dexter McCluster getting the touchdown. You go to the Broncos game, Trindon Holliday got the touchdown. Those are absolute killers. To me, what's really stood out on special teams is penalties. There's been some missed assignments and missed tackles, but it's the penalties that have been a killer. You get a penalty on a punt, and you allow Carolina to continue a drive. You have an overloaded left side against the Chiefs on a field goal. You allow them to continue the drive. You can't give gifts to the opposition. They've been giving gifts out, and the opponents have been capitalizing. That's got to end. Now, special teams has been an issue the last few seasons. You know, outside of Dominic Hixon and David Wilson, they haven't had a dynamic punter kickoff returner. That's been well documented. But it's not just about the returner. It's about the other guys that make up the special teams unit. And they're having some mental lapses and mental breakdowns. DeMontre Moore's been a bright spot. He's had his positive flashes, but at times he's also picked up penalties. So there's a learning curve for him. And I know a lot of people are saying they've got to take off the leash and get him involved on defense. I think part of the reason they're holding him back is they want to see that he's a well-disciplined player on special teams before all of a sudden they give him the green light on defense. So that's one of the things that is probably being taken into consideration as to why we haven't seen him lined up as a defensive end more often than not. With respect to the offensive line that Mark also touched on, and I think we've been giving that a great deal of attention week in and week out, he talked about last season and the fact that the Giants' offensive line held up, and it did. The pass protection has never really been a huge issue for this team. Running the ball has. Haven't been dominant since 2008. But you can't really point to a season where Eli Manning, week in and week out, was running for his life or was on his back. Despite some of the Giants' struggles and the ups and downs, pass protection has always been a consistent. It's a glaring issue this season. And it really has come out of nowhere. to me, the biggest contribution as to why pass protection has broken down compared to seasons prior, and they've had injuries that they've had to deal with. It's not as if this offensive line has always been healthy, but they have been hit by numerous injuries all at once, and that you can't really point to as being something that they've had to deal with in seasons prior. You know, you go Snee, you go Boss, you got Deal. You got three veteran offensive linemen that go down simultaneously. When have they had to deal with something like that? When have the Giants been put in a position where they've had to start two inexperienced offensive linemen week in and week out? When has that happened? James Brewer made his second career start this past game. The reason why James Brewer hasn't made many starts is because they've been relatively healthy or they've relied on the veterans. They have not had that luxury this season. So that's a big reason why. When you don't have the same five guys play from game to game, it's very hard for everybody to be on the same page, and they haven't had many practice reps together. The goal is get Snee back, get Boss back, get Deal back. You don't have a lot of mixing and matching. You would hope and you would assume that the offensive line is going to improve. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Andrew in Stanhope. Andrew, what's happening?
How's it going? One good thing, it's not going to snow because the lady that called that said it could get ugly in the stadium, I don't know if you are old enough to remember the snowball riot that broke out 1 year Dan Reeves was coach, and they were blowing a lot of fourth quarter leads. Junior Seau dominated. He was on the Chargers, and the Giants blew the lead, and the refs actually made an announcement that they were going to forfeit the game, and the Giants were going to lose the game. Do you remember that?
I do remember that, yep.
But hopefully that's one good thing. But it is an easier opponent, but everyone remembers the 7 minutes and 30 seconds of hell Michael Vick brought upon us a few years ago. But he's not the same player. But as soon as you say that, he's, you know, this is going to be the week where he looks like the old Michael Vick and burns us. But hopefully that won't happen. And it's just crazy because the only game that they should have won is the Dallas game. And had they won that game, they would actually be tied for first in the division at 1-3. But I just want to say, I'll leave you with this. Other than obviously the offensive line has to improve, but the three players I think that need to step up, Hakeem Nicks and DeMontre Moore, and because I think DeMontre Moore, he replaced, I think his name was Adrian Tracy, who was like a developmental player. He was a good pass rusher, and Paul Dottino was surprised that they cut him. And the reason why they did is because DeMontre Moore looks good, and he also plays well on special teams. He's one of the best defensive tackles probably in history to play, you know, on special teams. Because Kiwi and Tuck and JPP, they're not really getting a lot of pass rush. So if DeMontre Moore could provide, like, situational pass rush, and big Brandon Jacobs could get some more carries and maybe play, like, a little fullback or H-back. So those three, Hakeem Nicks, DeMontre Moore, and Brandon Jacobs. I think those three, and, of course, the offensive line. Your thoughts on that. Thanks.
All right, Andrew, thanks so much for weighing in. Greatly appreciated. Brandon Jacobs, you know, giving him more carries, the bottom line is he needs somebody to create holes for him. And I think by getting John Connor now in the mix, the need for Jacobs to play sort of a fullback role may not be as necessary. But you put Connor in front of Jacobs, perhaps Jacobs could get back to his power running style. And that should also open things up for David Wilson. You know, if they can get some holes, if they can get some consistency, then you could also play off of David Wilson and Brandon Jacobs. So you can have that complementary role where Wilson gives you that speed element, he gives you that run off the edge, and then Jacobs can give you those short yardage situations and hopefully punch it in the end zone if they're fortunate enough to get consistent drives into that red zone. But right now, you know, it's hard to balance off of running backs. It's hard to bounce off the offensive line because there's just no consistency. There's a good play here and there, and that's about it. And that probably was well evident in that Chiefs game. You had multiple three and outs, and then you had some drives where Manning would hook up with Victor Cruz. He got the big touchdown, and he'd get Victor Cruz in some short yardage situations to get that positive drive. Unfortunately, it ended with the missed field goal. But outside of that, it's very hard if you look at all these offensive drives of the Chiefs game and you say, you know, what could they have taken momentum from to carry into the next drive? Akeem Nicks, Andrew just mentioned, a lot of mental lapses, drop passes. Now, you can't afford to have that. Those are momentum killers. So he needs to put that behind him moving forward. And then with respect to DeMontre Moore, who I talked about a bit with special teams, I admit he's got tremendous playmaking ability, but I still get back to some of the issues he's having with respect to penalties. He gives them a spark, but at times he also hurts them. So he needs to learn that you have to use your energy in a positive way. And once he does that, once he masters that, I think the Giants are going to be willing to expand his role. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat, at Lance Meadow on Twitter, one word, last name M-E-D-O-W. Let's head back to lines. We got Tim in Minneapolis. Tim, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Lance?
Doing well, Tim. What you got?
I don't really have, much of an X and O's type thing or whatever. I just want to address my Giants fans out here.
Sure.
Hey, you guys. This is a team that's won us 4 Super Bowls. Okay? So when we were 9-7 and we won the Super Bowl, and we went into Lambeau Field and we whooped on Favre and everybody said that, oh, yeah, it was luck. You know, we stuck our chest out and it was what it was. We were champions. Now, that we're 0-4, we're getting a whole lot of belly aching. Now, real fans know that you need a healthy team to win. You know what I'm saying? So everybody complaining about Coughlin, everybody complaining about Gilbride, everybody complaining about Fuel, everybody complaining about my team just need to take a chill. Shut up. We don't do fair weather fans around here. You know what I'm saying? Now, remember, being in first place in the NFC East doesn't really do much for your BCS bowl standings. I mean, come on, we got the Dallas is 2-2, Philly's 1-3, Washington's 1-3, we're 0-4. We can easily still win this division. That's the, like Coughlin always says, the quickest way into the playoffs is to win your division. Our division isn't running away from us at all. So, you know, we just need to get some things right. I believe that we can do it. Now, what I want to do is this. Right now, I'm channeling my inner Jim Fossil. You know, the crosshairs on me, the laser beams on my chest. I'm pushing all my chips to the center of the table. If you're on, you're on. If you're off, you're off. But I'm telling you right now, this Giant team is going to turn it around because I see the running game had a pulse. I see the defense is really a good defense, but we can't, you know, they can't get us turnovers, and then we put them right back on the field 45 seconds later. I mean, that's not football. You know what I mean? Like, when the offense finally comes around and turns into the offense that we believe that we got, we're going to start winning games. I believe that's going to happen this week. We're not going to lose to Philadelphia. We're going to put Philadelphia at the bottom of the NFC this week. And what I'm saying is that all you fair weather Giant fans, jump off the bandwagon right now. I'm telling you, my team's going to the playoffs. You can book it. Tim in Minnesota.
All right,
you know,
Tim.
instead of us calling up here and complaining about our team all the time, what we should be doing is sending them positive tweets, sending them positive love, letting them know that we still support them. You know, they will try harder for us that way. They will try harder for themselves that way. But if they, you know, they claim that they don't listen to the clips, but if you hear your own fan base writing you off, and then the media is writing you off, and then your own four, it's real easy to go into the tank. That's what we don't want. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's time for the real Giants fans to just stand up, take, you know, the bullet for your team. Stand up for your team. Yeah, we're 0-4, but it's not over. And I said we're coming back.
All right,
so,
Tim.
Thanks.
I respect the optimism out of Tim, but I think that the margin for error is minute, and you still can't overlook that. You know, when you're in an 0-4 hole, despite the fact that the rest of the division has not necessarily run away with things, that doesn't mean that the Giants can afford to keep losing games. You know, they can maybe continue to struggle here in the first half of the season, but you're not going unbeaten in the second half of the season. So eventually, you got to turn things around. They've got Philadelphia twice. They go to Chicago, and they have Minnesota at home. That's the four-game slate leading into the bye. And there's going to be a short turnaround after Sunday's game because they've got the Thursday night game in Chicago. Then they have a little bit more than a week off because they don't play until Monday night at home against the Vikings. But I'll tell you this. It's a real critical game this weekend because if you can beat the Eagles, knowing that you have a very quick turnaround, not much practice time, you can ride that momentum into Thursday's game. And they're going to have to ride on momentum Thursday more so than preparation. And these Thursday night games, for those of you who have watched the majority of them, it's been ugly football. It has not been pretty by any means. There's a reason why it's been ugly football. Because teams don't have a lot of opportunities to practice. They're resting up. They're trying to recover from their injuries. A win can go very far Sunday. And I'm not stating the obvious. I understand they need a win. But I'm talking about getting a win to put you in a better position for the next game on Thursday. It's all about building momentum and carrying that with you into the bye. They need some positives at this point. There's not a lot of positives surrounding this team. 201-939-4513, the telephone number. Let's head back to the lines. We've got Charlie in Portland, Maine. Charlie, what's happening?
Hey, I hate to disappoint this last caller, but I kind of put everything on Jerry Reese. I think he's done not a very good job with the roster, and here's why I say that. They ended up getting Bosworth, who was be a special team demon, and what do? They cut him. Our special teams are terrible. He would have really helped. You've got people on this roster that shouldn't be there. They should only have two quarterbacks. They don't need Painter, especially now starting 0-4. This guy ain't going to win you any games. There's a roster spot you could have for somebody else. You know, you keep Nessum and you keep Eli. They're not going to win with either one of those two. So just get rid of, you know, save the spot. You know, they could have had Connors coming back for that spot if they did that. Donnelly should be on the practice squad. Our tight ends are terrible. They should have kept Bennett, but they didn't want to pay him. That's Reese's fault.
Charlie. Let me finish.
Let me finish. Charlie, I know you're going to say you wanted all this money, but let me finish. They're over $3 million over the cap right now. They could have signed him. Okay.
Charlie, I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt you because that's a ridiculous statement to make. You just said Charlie, they couldn't afford Martellus Bennett at $5 million.
They couldn't afford him.
No, Charlie, they could not do that, okay? You're being a little unrealistic here.
I'm unrealistic. Why did they throw $1 million over the cap? Tell me that.
Then why did they give half the roster one-year deals? How about answering that question for me?
Yeah, and that's another problem.
Well, that's because they had a tight end
that they could have had for a long time. The guy had 1 year with Eli. He played pretty well.
I agree with you, Charlie.
Okay, forget that. Forget Bennett. You don't think they should have paid Bennett? Then they got Jake Ballard sitting out there. Eli and him have a chemistry. They should bring him in. You got Bowie out there, who is their best linebacker, sitting out there, and they don't bring him back. You got Kenny Phillips out there, who is another veteran guy who was on two Super Bowl teams. They're not bringing him back. It's just ridiculous. Their roster is terrible. You had Winston Justice out there for a long time. Denver just picked him up. A good right tackle, they could have picked him up. They knew Bass and Snead were injured. They were injured last year, and they were coming off surgery. And what did they do? They didn't pick up any veteran offensive linemen.
They
could have got Justice. They could have had Justice. Put him in right tackle. Put Pugh in at guard if they wanted to. The roster has been horrible. They get Trafant on, you know, and they let Ojomo go, you know, because he doesn't practice well. Well, I'd rather have a guy who really shines when he plays, and, you know, they're playing great in practice, but where are they in game day?
Wait, so you want
to,
Charlie.
These are terrible roster moves that
Charlie,
Reese has done.
Charlie, you want to play Ojomo over Justin Tuck, Matthias Keeler?
No, I said over Trafant. He should not be on the 53 roster.
Are you you're talking about Justin Trotteau.
Yeah, Trotteau, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
Trotteau at this point is not necessarily playing a huge role on this team, so if he's barely getting much playing time, then I just don't see how you'd carve out a role for Ojomo to begin with. He was on
I think Ojomo, if you've seen him play, when he's on the field, he plays pretty well. And if they played this guy more, but, you know, it's just – I'm just telling you, the Reese is just – screwed up this roster. You got Jernigan on this roster who shouldn't be on this roster. What is he doing? He's doing nothing. There's a spot there for somebody. It's just, you know, it's just, I just think it's, you know, I throw this on Reese. And they knew we had two offensive linemen that were injured coming back, and they didn't get any veterans. So you got to rely on, you know, the Brewers and the Cordells and, you know, and yeah, you know, they're doing okay now. It's going to take them time, but they could have had some veteran guys. And wasting a spot on a third quarterback is totally ridiculous. And like I said, why aren't they bringing back some of these guys that played for the Giants who were great players?
Well, Charlie, you mentioned Kenny Phillips. When was the last time Kenny Phillips was fully healthy? Answer that question for me.
When he plays well. Who cares? Bradshaw was never healthy. He never practiced a whole week, but he played. He lit up. When he was on the field, he played. Those are the type of players we need. Not somebody who lights it up in practice and is a dull light bulb during the game.
All right, Charlie, appreciate the phone call. And Charlie did throw out a lot of names. Listen, I'm not going to argue with Ahmad Bradshaw. That's a fair one that you name. And I think looking back, the Giants probably wished that there was a way from a financial perspective that they would have held on to him because of his experience and his pass protection. That I can't necessarily argue. But giving me Kenny Phillips was cut by the Eagles because he had another new injury to deal with. So what is the good in keeping a guy on the 53-man roster that won't be even able to play every Sunday? And safety's not the problem right now. Come on. Let's put things in perspective here. They've got major issues elsewhere, and we're naming safeties, and we're naming fifth defensive ends, such as Ojomo. Ojomo, let me ask you this. If Ojomo is on the roster right now, you're going to tell me the Giants are 4-0? Come on. You want to say they need a linebacker? Okay, I buy that. Michael Boley knows the system. I'm sure they weighed that, but Michael Boley's still on the street. There's a reason Michael Boley's still on the street. Nobody else signed Michael Boley. Does that not send a red signal to anybody? If Michael Boley was getting offers left and right from all 31 other teams, then I could say, okay, maybe the Giants are overlooking something. He didn't get any reads. Nothing. No interest. You want to say they didn't bring in a veteran offensive lineman? Okay, I can't necessarily argue about that. But, you know, the offensive line didn't perform that bad with Brewer and Cordell in there this week. You can make an argument they actually were a little bit more impressive than the group over the first couple of games. That could be a positive. To say that they didn't anticipate that Snee, Boss, and Deal were going to be healthy, the two of them had off-season surgeries. Boss had 75 different surgeries to correct everything that you can imagine. This wasn't 3 weeks before the season. He had the surgeries in the offseason. Same thing with Snee. The problem is they re-aggravated those injuries. And with respect to Deal suffered the thumb injury during training camp. How are they supposed to know that David Deal's going to get hurt? Come on. I mean, let's put things in perspective, people. And I'm not trying to get rowdy and all worked up this morning, but some of this stuff is absolutely ridiculous. I know you're trying to claw, you're trying to find an answer. I buy that. Everybody's looking to do that. And that's why I respect Giants fans. They're very passionate. But you got to think before you throw out these recommendations. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's head back to the lines. We've got Ernest in Monroe, Connecticut. Ernest, what's happening?
Good morning. I kind of like your caller, the woman, and I like a lot of your points. But there's some things here that I'm missing. Okay, there's three phases of the game: defense, offense, and special teams. Then you have the X factor, who are the coaches. So number one, Gilbride and Coughlin, and even when Coughlin was in Jacksonville, do not have any patience whatsoever. They are not giving that young offensive line a chance to gel. And how do you do that? You consistently run the ball. The minute something happens, or one team get a few points on them, get a touchdown or something, they panic, and all they want to do is start to pass, putting a lot of pressure on this offensive line. Gilbride is too old, I think. I think he's out of his time. I videotape every Giants game, and I look back on them the next day, and I watch them all week long. He is so predictable. Watch this game on Sunday. They will pass on the first down. Then they will run the ball on second down, get 2 yards. Now the team knows that they're going to pass. If I was a Giant coach, why not run the ball all 3 downs? At least the offensive line will start to gel together. They will start to have a connection, a cohesiveness, and then pass the ball. Then the other team will have to honor the run game. Once you start doing that, then the passing game comes. This is not nothing new. This is not a scientific thing that I'm saying. He is too predictable. And then they put in the third-year rookie. I can't think of his name, number 33. God, I can't think of his name. And
Terrell Scott, you're talking about?
Terrell Scott. And run a draw play with him. Why not have David Wilson do that kind of stuff? He's much more explosive. And they put people are scapegoating through this young running back. They're scapegoating through this offensive line. I really don't like it. It's a lot of that. It's Gilbride, and Coughlin who's causing the problem. Another thing on defense. I know you're high on Justin Tuck, but Justin Tuck needs to go. He's not. He's good on the runs, but he's not. A defensive end like Osa Humanuma was. He's not quick. He's good on the inside almost as a tackle, but he's not a bona fide defensive end. That's why we're not getting any pressure on the quarterback. I would rather see Demetri Moore playing on those obvious passing plays than to have Justin Tuck in there. He's just not getting it. And I'm going to guarantee you before the year is over with, Justin Tuck may end up with 3 to 4 sacks, maybe. And on the offensive side, again, you said earlier with this lady, if you're not healthy, you shouldn't be on the field. Hakeem Nicks shouldn't be on the field. He hasn't been healthy. He had one pretty good first year. After that, he has been injured every single year.
Wait, Ernest, what's wrong with Hakeem Nicks right now? What injury does he have?
He has nothing, and he's not showing up.
Well, but that's not because he's hurt. That's because him and Eli Manning haven't been on the same page, you could point to, and he's had some drop passes. But it has nothing to do with being hurt.
Yeah, but everybody's saying that he's still injured. Everyone's saying that he's injured.
Well, that's speculation.
And they're saying that he's not his... not himself, and I'm watching the game. In Sunday's game, how many passes did he have? From the first game, from the Dallas game, he had a pretty good game in Dallas, and that was it. He's been shut down, and if it wasn't for Cruz, we wouldn't have a passing game.
And that's a fair point.
It was Hakeem Nicks. They need to he either needs to put up or shut up, take him out, what's the other wide receiver? My God.
Lewis Murphy?
No.
Reuben Randle. Well, Reuben Randle still gets plenty of time, even with Akeem Nicks on the field. It's not as if they're sacrificing Reuben Randle. And you can't bench one of your top wide receivers. And Ernest, appreciate the phone call. I mean, I understand that we're digging deep here, and we're trying to find answers once again. You're not benching Akeem Nicks. Granted, has Akeem Nicks looked good in the first four games? I agree with Ernest. He's been very up and down outside of that Dallas game. But that doesn't mean that you take your best playmakers and you keep them on the sideline. Come on, that's not practical. Akeem Nicks is out there drawing attention. That's what was missing last season. He wasn't healthy, and Ernest did allude to this. When he's not healthy, defenses are not being kept honest because they're not going to double-team him. So you need him on the field. But keeping him on the sideline in favor of Lewis Murphy or Reuben Randle is not what this offense needs at this point. With respect to Kevin Gilbride's play calling, I'm not even going to go there because I feel as if we're having the same conversation over and over again as my pal here, John Schmelk. Perfect timing for him to walk in when we're talking about Kevin Gilbride
and
his play calling.
It's the first thing I got to hear, Lance? Seriously? The first thing I got to hear when I walk in is talking about Kevin Gilbride and his play calling.
We make sure that the callers that we have on the show before you're ready to rejoin us to push your buttons. They have done a very good job pushing my buttons.
You seem a little agitated.
And they have even talked about this on Twitter already. I have reached Schmelk level this week.
Oh, really?
There was one phone call.
What did you get?
I'm not trying to throw Charlie under the bus.
But Charlie from where?
Charlie from Portland, Maine. And I got no issue personally with Charlie.
It sounds like you have a beef with Charlie to me.
Charlie was naming just about every former Giant imaginable that's on the street right now that Jerry Reese should have brought back.
Who's that?
Michael Boley, Kenny Phillips.
These guys are so good that no other NFL team wants them.
Thank you. I'll drink to that. I need some additional water this morning. I may need something stronger after this show ends. Let's head back to the lines. We go to Sam in Florida. Sam, what's happening?
Man. Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Sammy?
Yeah, man. A few observations from the Saints game. I think something that Gilbride should look into, and I know we don't have a lot of protection to, like, throw out David Wilson out there like Sproles, but just maybe simplifying it a little bit where it's just quick reads and getting the ball to the playmaker, because I feel that's one thing that the Giants haven't done in years, and not that our offense hasn't been successful, but because it has. But that's something that I think the Saints do such a great job of, is just get the ball to the playmakers and let them make plays. And I think that's something we could definitely learn from. Also, alluded to somebody, I think, just said about David Wilson coming off the field a lot. I think he's big time, man. And not only talent-wise, I think heart and mental strength. And when I was watching Sight and Sound, and he's the one yelling on the sideline, yep. You know, and he at the end of the game, people were talking about him going backwards and stuff. It's because he was trying anything he could to make something happen.
Yeah, David Wilson's effort has been great, no question.
Yeah, exactly. I think, like I said, he's big time. He's learned. I think he was trying too hard on that kickoff. He could have took it to the house maybe, or even got more yards. He tried to make too much happen. But I think he needs to stay on the field more. Just Darrell Scott stuff, giving him a try just because he can protect Eli a little bit. I think David.
Looks like we lost Sam here. We're having some technical issues.
That was a slow fade there.
That was a slow fade.
It was like, and I think that maybe we should put the
we're weeding out with the technology, the callers today.
But a couple things on what Sam said. One, I would tend to agree. I'm not sure why Darrell Scott is on the field as much as he is. You know, I don't think he's shown a ton in pass protection. I'd like to see David Wilson on the field more in those situations, at least given an opportunity. I mean, I don't think Darrell Scott's Ahmad Bradshaw back there blocking blitzers coming in. And on the whole short passing thing, a couple things. One, remember, folks, the Chiefs play aggressive bump-and-run coverage on nearly every play. Their corners are up on the line of scrimmage, so it's hard to throw those quick screens, those bubble screens, those quick wide receiver passes at the line of scrimmage when the cornerbacks are playing up. Those plays don't work in those situations. You can only run those against, you know, softer zones where the corners are playing off, and the Chiefs don't do that. And number two, I hate to open up this can because I'm sure I'm going to get a million calls on it, but Coach Coughlin made a point in his press conference yesterday, and I had forgotten about it watching the game, but once he mentioned it, I remembered it. all the fans that have been calling up wanting to go no huddle and thinking that's going to solve all your problems, and I'm not sure if you mentioned it already once on this show. Coach Coughlin brought it up to start the second half yesterday. The Giants did try to go no huddle offense, and it didn't work.
And
just saying.
Eli Manning also touched on that. And you know what? For the sake of our listeners who are unfamiliar with those comments, I want to try
to
bring up the transcript.
Perfect.
So at least we can read the exact quotes. Because he was pressed, and so was Eli Manning.
Are you looking up Coach or Eli?
I'm looking up Coach
right
now.
I will look up Eli then.
All right, you look up Eli here, and then I'm just looking for the question. They did ask him on multiple situations as to why they don't go no huddle. Let me try to see if I can find it. They also asked him if he's going to take a larger role in terms of the offense. Okay, here was the question. He was asked, Tom Coughlin, is the hurry-up offense something you might consider mixing in a little bit more? And this is exactly what he said. Quote, we've done a lot of that. It's not just before the half. We came back out in the second half, did it as well. We weren't as successful with it, but we always have it. We always utilize it at some point in the game, whether it's a true two-minute or whether it's just what we call rally when we're up on the ball and whatever the personnel is in trying to decide what is the best play with run or pass. We have that capability. It is something that we talk about using a little bit more, a little bit less accordingly. It is a point that you make, which is before the half, over the ball, no huddle offense was very productive.
Here we go. Eli Manning. He talks about why he likes in the huddle, first of all, because they've had some success and it does slow down the pass rush. However, this is his quote now. I get worried about doing it an entire game, just because if you do it the whole game, it will be a little slower. You have to be able to get into all of your plays. Do we have those capabilities of getting into every single play in a no-huddle situation? His implication is no. If you ran the same ones over and over again, eventually the defense would catch on. And there was one other question about it, if I can find it here. I think Steve Serbia was all over this no-huddle stuff yesterday when he was here. What would it take to get the entire playbook into the no-huddle? Eli's quote. We could probably get into most of it. It's something you just need to practice. We do practice no huddle some, but you have to go through the whole practice no huddle and just make a dedication to it if you would want to do that. Sometimes we want to huddle up. We want to take our time. We want to call a number of plays. I don't know if that's the answer. We've been successful huddling up. It's not the plays. It's not the tempo. Our execution has to get better. Let me stress these last few lines here, folks. I don't know if that's the answer. It's not the plays. It's not the tempo. Our execution has got to be better. It's not the plays. It's not the tempo. Our execution has to be better. That's your starting quarterback.
And as you quoted, Eli Manning also pointed out, it depends what defense they're going up against, John. Sometimes they want to go quick. Sometimes they want to slow things down. So that doesn't mean that you have to do no huddle for all four quarters.
It's not the plays. It's not the tempo. Execution has got to be better.
Now, just because Eli Manning said that does not mean that that's going to end that conversation here on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
I don't want it to end the conversation. We love conversation. But I think it's a direct answer from the most important player on the offense regarding the no huddle. And I'm sure Kevin Gilroy will be asked those questions when he's available to the media on Thursday, and we'll have more from him on our Friday morning program.
All right, let's head back to the lines. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. One of our very good friends, Victor in Texas.
Victor,
what's happening?
Yo, guys, this is the best show I've ever been on. I mean, the Giants fans are freaking livid. It is crazy. And Lance, I applaud you, man. That guy, you know, he had some points, but let me tell you something, fellas. Gilbride isn't going nowhere. You know why? Because that's the only offensive coordinator that Eli Manning, our franchise quarterback, has ever worked with. And we are not changing in midseason. Hey, I get frustrated with the offense just like everybody else, but get it out of your head. Tom Coughlin, the guy won us two Super Bowls. He's not going nowhere unless it's on his own terms. Jerry Reese, that's another thing right there, right? Now, I know Jerry Reese was hampered with the salary cap. Did he not prepare for it? Did it strike everybody? Yes. But let me tell you something. You got to start going to the jeweler to get the real diamonds instead of buying the Fugazis, because the glare on them is not going to shine. Come on, I'm telling you, this roster
is a little shaky, guys. I'm telling you, the offensive line, Pat Flaherty, the guy is the best offensive line coach in the NFL. He can't turn water into wine. He can't turn a left tackle, a guy who's coming in, into a left tackle, and he's not a left tackle, or a guard who's not a guard. Mike Pope, he's the best tight end coach. He can't get guys in there to do that. You can't expect him, you know, to just whip up a tight end each and every time. I mean, we already know Brandon Myers. He came from Oakland. He's not a great blocker. But damn, you know, our offense is predicated on the tight end blocking. And the line and the tight end not blocking, Eli just doesn't have time. I'm telling you guys, I watched that game from the beginning to the end, and all I saw was Eli being pressured. On that one play he threw to Victor Cruz, he stepped up into the pocket.
Yep.
It wasn't a clean pocket. He stepped up into it and got the ball out. And let me tell you, Victor Cruz is balling. And if anybody says that Hakeem Nicks has to sit down, that's crazy. But what I can tell you is Hakeem Nicks should have been in the offseason working with Eli Manning. I see it. The timing is not there. He should have been there working with Eli. But even if they were, Eli still doesn't have the time. The offensive line is the biggest issue here with the Giants. The defense played outstanding to me. Yeah, they didn't get a lot of pressure because guess what? They're freaking tired. Those guys are on the field, I mean, literally, like three and out. It was, I just saw the look on their faces, and I could just see those guys, like, you know, they were trying their heart out, man. And the best, to me, the best signing of the Giants, without even, well, they did spend some money, was Terrell Thomas. I mean, I applaud the way this guy come back. He's playing hard. You got Prince playing hard. You got guys, guys that came on his roster, Sean Rogers. I mean, people are playing hard, but they're just freaking tired. They need the offense to help them out. I mean, the best defense is an offense that'll have long sustaining drives. We have not had a drive that was long sustaining. It's always those quick hitters. Even when we score fast, guess what? Our defense has to come back on the field, fellas. This is not going to get any better unless the offensive line or they sign somebody off the street, maybe some veteran. I don't know. Or these guys got to start working better. And one more thing before I go. The blocking for the running back, David Wilson, bless his heart, the dude is a runner. He wants to do good, but he can't block the blitz. He can't block it. I've seen him run him over numerous times. And our offensive line is not picking up the blitz either. That case in point, I tweeted about it. Kevin Booth, why are you switching off on a man when you know that the guy is already – your left tackle's already blocked him. Why are you going to release him? You never let pressure come up the front, always from the side. You never let that happen. The immediate threat is the pressure up the middle to the quarterback because the quarterback can step up, the pressure comes off the edge. But I watched Booth release inside to help out, I guess it was Pugh, and he wasn't even in trouble. Somebody's got to get these guys to gel. It's going to be a long season. And I see Philly running up and down the field on us. If we don't sustain longer drives.
Victor, great call. And I think he's on top of everything.
Appreciate
there.
The phone call, Victor.
That's
Thanks
why he's one of our favorites.
Yeah,
Victor all over it.
And he hit it right in the nose. Listen, everything feeds off the offensive line, John. The passing game, the running game, you name it. If you don't have stability at the offensive line, things are going to break down. And Victor mentioned David Wilson struggling in pass protection, and it even goes further than that. And I know we've gotten some comments on Twitter, and we're going to try to respond or address most of the topics that you're throwing out there. We certainly appreciate the tweets at hashtag Giants Chat. The tight ends have also struggled in terms of blocking. So if your offensive line is not reliable, you turn to your running backs and you turn to your tight ends. If neither of those come through, who are you turning to now? Your wide receivers? Then who's Eli Manning throwing the football to?
Phil Gillian, how can a defense play outstanding when they give up 98-yard drive in 16 plays and an 84-yard drive? It's improved. Yeah, but Phil, the Giants held the Chiefs to only seven offensive points, you know, through those three quarters until that punt return for a touchdown. That's pretty darn good. Well, 10, excuse me. But either way, the Giants were in this game because of the defense in that fourth quarter. And it wasn't until that punt return, which obviously is a special teams issue, which really put the Chiefs into that bigger lead.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. in terms of Charlie's call, which I know has created quite a stir, at least from my perspective.
I wish I would have heard this call.
We'll have to go back to the archives. Don't worry, Giants fans. This archive will be up sooner than later. We'll make sure we put it up. You can hear it on a loop all throughout the afternoon and the evening. Saraceno, who called in yesterday, which was a rare occurrence, says Charlie wanted to bring back LT. He just failed to name him. And we have another tweet. NF Jints. I heard Charlie wanted to bring back Carl Banks as well.
Okay.
So, you know, people feed
Carl's
off.
Carl's in good shape.
Hey,
ready
Carl,
to go.
Carl's got the energy. He's got the vocal cords, and he's also got the energy in him. 201-939-4513. We go to our very good friend, Len, in Columbia, Maryland. Len, what's happening?
Feeling better this morning, Len?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Len. What you got?
Listen, can you stand 20 seconds of levity before I get too serious? On
Always.
The
Absolutely.
Okay, listen, I'm the only caller this morning. First of all, I want to reference that snowball game that somebody talked about earlier in the show against the Chargers back in 95. I think it was the lady who called in who talked about the snowball effect of you know, at Giant Stadium. What I want to say is I'm probably the only caller this morning. I can almost guarantee it. I'm the only caller this morning who actually got hit by a snowball that day leaving the stadium.
Well, Len, in fairness, you probably deserved it. You're probably mouthing off to somebody. I realize you can be very raucous after these games. Frankly, it was probably me that hit you with the snowball. I'm not going to lie.
I stepped off the escalator at the old Giant Stadium. Got out in the open with my wife heading toward my car and plunk right in my neck a snowball from the escalator. So I want credit for that, guys.
Well done.
Okay, listen, a couple of things on the Giants. First four teams we played, first four games, teams are 11-4. Next four games, teams are 5-11. We got the Eagles 1-3 in our house, division rival. We don't like them very much.
They don't like you very much.
Huh?
I said,
and
the Eagles don't like you very much either.
Yeah, and the Eagles don't like us very much. And we got a couple of ex-Eagles playing on our team this year, coming over from the Eagles. I think we can win this game. You know, we're going into, if there is such a thing as a soft stretch, we're going into a stretch against teams who we can get back in this race.
Hey, Chicago's a tough game, Len. Do not underestimate playing in Chicago.
I'm not, you know, again, there's really no such thing as a soft game. But, I mean, these are not unbeaten teams we're going to be playing.
If the Giants, Len, want to get back into this and be serious about it, in their next five games, I'm going to include that Oakland game after the bye week in what you're calling the Giants' soft stretch, which I think is probably fair. They better go a minimum, and I mean a minimum. And I take it back. You have to go 4-1. If you want a legitimate chance to really make a run here, you got to go 4-1 in your next five games.
I would have said 4-1 also. I agree with you. Look, we're also one other positive here on offense. If Snee and Boss are ready to play, if they're healthy and they're ready to play, and let's make the assumption that they are, and it all depends on their health, obviously. This is the healthiest the offense has been all year. Okay? You know, Deal becomes the swing player. This is what we wanted back in September. Pugh to be the starting right tackle. Deal to be the swing lineman. And the offensive linemen line up the way we wanted them to line up. I mean, this is the team that people were talking about winning 9, 10, 11 games. So I think now we got a fullback, a legit fullback. I don't want to compare him to Heinonski. I don't want to get into that. We got a legitimate fullback who, quite frankly, takes David Wilson's pass blocking out of the equation. A minor part of David Wilson's game this week. A minor part of Wilson's game. Pass blocking. I think we got the offense that can do something. I want to talk about second down. We talk about no yardage on first down. We talk about third down conversions. We can't do it. Let's get in a position. Big strike down this weekend. Here's my gem for the day, guys. Big strike down this weekend against the Eagles. Second down. This is where we make yardage. It doesn't have to be 70 yards to the house. This is where we do our thing. Get in position on first down to strike on second down. Let's take third down out of the equation. Hakeem Nicks. I just want to ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
We talked about this before.
Don't tell me you're going to try to bench him too, Len, please.
I'm sorry?
I said don't tell me you're going to try to bench him like a previous quarterback.
No, no, no.
Okay,
no,
thank
no.
you.
I want to see what your opinion is on this, because I designed the play. Remember, it wasn't the first play. It turned out to be the second play. 59 yards against Dallas across the middle.
Yeah.
Should he have scored on that play?
I would have to look at it again, to be honest with you.
You want to talk angles? Hakeem Nicks should have scored on that play.
Well, Len, here's the thing. To me, and I think you'll probably agree with me, I don't think Hakeem Nicks is getting the same type of separation as it has the same explosion we've seen him when he was in his prime.
There's my point. That's all. Let's go on to second else. Let's go on to something else. Let's guard the tight end this weekend.
They got two good ones. Brent Celek and Zach Ertz can play.
And this guy Celek, I hate to use the word hate, but I'm going to use it. I don't like Celek. I don't like Celek. And, I don't like that. And we're getting killed on by tight ends. Please, Perry, let's figure something out on how to guard the tight ends. Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks, Len.
You got
appreciate
it, Len.
It.
Well,
thanks
Len, so much.
Len was... He's a little testy this morning. Not with us, just in general. I think the 0-4 record's starting to get to him a little bit.
Well, some of the other callers were starting to get to him, too. You missed half the program, so you're playing catch-up at this point.
I am. I'm aware of that.
Brent Celek, by the way, I'm looking up his numbers. Relatively quiet this season.
Look at his yards per catch. Almost 19 yards per catch. And Zach Ertz, 22 yards per catch.
They're making the most of their limited opportunities.
They run those tight ends down that seam down the middle of the field, and I'll tell you what. You know, a quick thing on the Eagles' offense here coming up. The way the Chiefs played them, they played a lot of tough press man-to-man, had a safety over the top to try to protect DeSean Jackson on the deep throws, and to a certain extent it worked. Here's where it didn't work, and here why it's very difficult to play man-to-man against this Eagles defense. They spread you out. They make you cover the entire field, right? The Eagles want to make big plays. They'll send guys down the field. You're playing man-to-man. So what happens when the Eagles send their four wide receivers or four receivers and their running back, LeSean McCoy, into patterns down the field, you're playing man-to-man. You turn your back, you're following them. What happens then? Michael Vick has all sorts of real estate to try to run the football scrambling, and that's why he had 150 yards against the Chiefs, and that's why LeSean McCoy had a ton of yards against the Chiefs too. The Eagles are a pick-your-poison type of team. If you're going to want to play man-to-man and take away that deep pass, you're going to get carved up in the running game a little bit. So the Giants' defense is a very, very formidable challenge this week. On the other hand, I think, of course, I said this before the Panther game as well, see how that went. I think this could be a week where the Giants' offense could get well a little bit against an Eagles defense that has struggled.
That's why you got to be a little bit cautious when you look at these teams on paper.
No question.
Because as you mentioned, there have been other attractive matchups. I would also say I think the Giants' pass rush could get going against this Eagles offensive line. Looks good on paper. It's a whole other thing if that pans out in terms of the game.
And the Eagles don't match protected lock either. They like to protect with just the five offensive linemen. Like we said, spread the field, send people down. And the other thing about this offense, they're second in the NFL in yards per game, only to the Broncos, who we all know how good they are. 12th in points. Their red zone production has been terrible. And a lot of that, what do we always talk about? To score in the red zone, you have to be able to run the ball with power. And the Eagles can spread it out and run it. That's not quite as effective the closer you get to the goal line because the field gets condensed a little bit. And that type of plan doesn't work. So the Eagles right now have struggled in the red zone. And that's going to be a key this game. The Eagles are going to get down there. They're going to get in position to score. But the Giants defense has to keep them out of the end zone and force them into field goals.
Let's head back to the lines. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. We go to Cheryl in Maryland. Cheryl, what's happening?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Cheryl.
What you got?
Hi, I'm calling. I heard the guy named Charlie. He was absolutely right. The only where he was wrong at was that's not Jerry Reese making the decisions on what players to decide to keep. That comes from the head coach. So Tom Coughlin went ahead and cut some better players.
Hey, Cheryl.
But my
I have one quick question for you. Has it been tough moving from Washington, D.C. to Virginia and back to Maryland over the past week and a half?
Have it been tough being a Giants fan?
It's been extremely tough, no question. It's been really tough.
Okay, let me just, I'll just get back to where I'm going to leave with one question.
Go ahead.
But what I've noticed is that the Giants look like the Rams. And Reuben Randle hasn't exactly stepped up. Everybody's getting on Akeem Nicks. He hasn't stepped up in that slot that Merrill Manningham used to do because, you know, you have to earn a spot. They just put him in there. But I see where he drops a lot of balls.
No,
the Giants' offense is just – yeah, the Giants' receivers are overrated except for Cruz. They're soft. I've been watching. They are soft as butter. And for that statement that Eli made – now, I liked Eli Manning, but that statement right there, he just killed me and turned me against him. That statement that he made where Victor Cruz questioned Coughlin not going for it, you're a little short. Man up. Go for it. That shows no guts. No guts, no glory. Man up and go for it. You got nothing to lose. Now,
the game.
My question,
you have the game
my question
to lose.
Is this. Look, they're not going to beat the Eagles. When they go 0-8, my question is, will Tom Coughlin change quarterbacks? Because I don't see why. The stench of Coughlin is all over this team.
Well,
I'm going to say
that answer.
Much.
No. Cheryl, they will not.
So they're going to go. Well, why did they draft Ryan Nassib? They may as well blow this thing up. Eli's not. Look, they need the Giants will not win a game until Eli Manning take the lead and run one of those touchdowns to get the offense sparked and excited. Sometimes you got to sacrifice it for the team.
Eli Manning,
you know,
read
you
option.
Have to make an effort.
That's our answer.
You're the team captain. You can't
you
be siding with 70-year-olds.
We should put him out as a wide
it's
receiver.
About
man I think.
And up.
Put him in the backfield. Double quarterback. Thanks
Cheryl,
for the call,
thanks
baby.
Thanks so much.
I like the creativity at least. Let's put Eli Manning out wide. We put him in the backfield. We're going to run some toss sweeps to him. Wow. That's the, you know, I've been trying to figure it out for 2 weeks. I finally figured it out. That's what you got to do. Put the ball in Eli's hands and let him run with it.
Because we got it. When I think mobility, I think Eli Manning.
Speed, explosion,
he's got
shiftiness.
A little bit of everything.
He also drives a
thinking?
Toyota. He can start lawnmowers. Eli Manning, folks, that's the answer right there. I think we should put him on defense so he could be our middle linebacker. He could rush the passer from the end spot. I think that's definitely the way to go.
By
no
the
question
way,
about it.
I do want to point out one thing that Cheryl brought up. Because, first of all, it's very hard to get a word in when Cheryl calls. She claims we cut her off or Ann from D.C., whatever alias she wants to choose. Cheryl, we know your tricks, okay? We're not naive, by the way. That's what John was alluding to. She didn't pick up on it. Anyway.
No, she did not.
She claimed that the Giants should man up and go for it on 4th-and-1 from their own, what? 30-yard line.
Was it 10-7 at that point?
It was 10-7.
You can't do
that. Three-point game.
You can't do that.
They should give a gift to Kansas City when they're only down by a field.
That's
goal.
Not having guts. That's being stupid.
I can't add anything to that. 2-0-1.
Cheryl this week? Is that who it was?
It was Cheryl.
Cheryl, thanks for the call.
We
got to
keep track of all of her names. I think it was Sheila in Virginia.
Wasn't it Leslie? Oh, Sheila. Was
Sheila.
Sheila
in Virginia.
Yeah.
See, I don't know why I remember this stuff. You know, I got to get a new hobby, apparently.
2-0-1. Maybe she's friends with Charlie.
Who knows? You know, and I'm not trying to, you know, throw Charlie into a bad category, but Charlie was the one that got me worked up.
I know.
I never get worked up compared to your meal.
Well, I wasn't here, so you had to step up and
level.
Fill the emotional
Boy,
void that I left.
These callers are really testing me this morning. 201-939-4513. All right, next up, Alex in the Bronx. Alex, what you got?
Hey, man, how you guys doing, man?
I'm doing good.
I know you remember me. I called yesterday,
yeah.
So.
No,
listen, I just got to laugh, man. You guys are crazy.
We try.
What the last caller said, in reference to a couple of other callers, man, let's go back really quick and analyze the past few games. It's been 4 games, okay? Antrell Rowe yesterday said he sees this team going 12-0. And I don't care what any Giants fan wants to say out there. I'm not speaking as a fanatic. I'm speaking, football 101 right now, viewing what's been going on the field. This is not a Gilbride issue. It is not a Coughlin issue. I don't want to hear that Jerry Reese, offensive line coach. This is an issue about poor execution. You cannot just switch a playbook. I don't know if callers that, you know, they understand how football works. This is not Madden. You
Correct.
Just don't switch out a playbook. It's not like playing Xbox. You just switch playbooks, you know.
Correct.
You have a playbook there for a reason. You got to stick to it. And what I want to say is, in reference to what's going on, if you saw the Dallas Cowboys game, we had like 6 turnovers. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and we could have won that game. They didn't, I mean, for the way the score was, if you looked at the score, if we did not turn the ball over and we executed a little bit better, we would have won that game.
And that's because
every game that we've lost has been because of poor execution.
No question.
It's not the playbook. It's not the coaches. And one thing that really gets me is that I have to compare the Super Bowl teams and going back and forth. This is not the same team. You've got a bunch of different guys. You've got a lot of rookies on special teams. This is a work in progress. And I'm willing on saying on the air right now, if you guys record this and quote this, I won't be surprised if we do go on that run. We got to go at least 4-1 to be at least somewhat of a threat in our division. I agree completely.
Alex?
I have utmost trust and respect for this coaching staff, and I believe when we start executing and start implementing football 101 basics with Kevin Booth, the blocking he was doing on double guys, and then that what the last call was talking about, there's a bunch of things that we're not doing that if we tighten these up, and I know I probably sound a little fanatic here, but I'm being honest, this team can go on a run and get back in it. I really get frustrated hearing about firing Coughlin and switching Eli. Are you kidding me? Hakeem Nicks is an amazing wide receiver. If you look at the numbers, you guys probably have access to it. Hakeem Nicks and Victor Cruz, that's a threat. You cannot, I mean, I don't know what they were thinking about saying, getting rid of Hakeem Nicks. That's ridiculous. That is the craziest thing I've heard today. And then Eli, I just want to say, man, we've got to stick to the basics here. Execution is key.
Thanks, Alex.
I'm following people right now. I have total trust in this team, and I think we can bounce back, guys. I don't know. I mean, honestly, if you look at the Broncos game as well, we weren't down by much by the half either. The only game I say we really got killed was in Carolina, which I think that was a psyche. I think that was a mental. I think that everybody in that locker room just gave up in a sense where mentally they were out of it. You know, it happens to the greatest teams in the NFL. No team has ever, you know, been victorious and never, ever had a rough loss. You know what I mean? And I believe strongly the Giants are going to bounce back, man. That's what
Thank
I got
you, Alex.
To say.
Right, appreciate Alex. The call. Thanks and Alex, so that second straight day for Alex with a very strong phone call. And obviously, you've been listening to us the last couple of days. We agree with this take on it being more of a player issue than a coaching issue. And I like the optimism that they think they can go on that type of run. But you better get on it, like, now. You can't wait much longer here, folks. This is it. You really can't lose any more games, especially not another division game. Like I said, if you really want to make a run this year, I want to see 4-1 in the next 5 games. If you're 3-6 after 9 with Dallas and Green Bay coming to town, then you got to go to Washington, San Diego, Seattle at Detroit, home versus Washington. I can't imagine you're going to make it to the playoffs. You got to be 4-5 at worst after 9 games if you want to make a run here. You need 4 out of these next 5 games.
No, you're certainly not running the table in the second half.
No.
So you need to make up for it now before you head to the bye-in. Even sweeping Philadelphia could be a tough task because you know these teams so well.
Well, no question. Well, this particular Eagles team and the Giants don't know each other that well. They've had a lot of new players, different systems, and all that sort of stuff. But it's always tough to sweep your division teams. Now you're going to have to go in there to Chicago, a tough place, maybe pull an upset. You figure Chicago is going to be a favorite in that game, depending on what happens this week with them. Obviously, they had a tough game against Detroit last week. But that may be a tough game. You have to go in there and you have to play your rear end off and win a game that maybe people think you're going to lose.
Plus, it's the quick turnaround. More of a reason I say you got to beat Philly, gain that momentum so you can carry that with you on the road to Chicago. Let's head back to the lines. We got Steve in D.C. Steve, what's happening?
Oh, we haven't heard from Steve in a while. What's up, Steve?
You know, y'all heard from me yesterday. They cut me off early yesterday, guys. There's a lot
Steve
of calls.
Steve, in after I think you ran out for a second.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Hey, listen, guys, this is what I got today. First of all, you know, I'm really not all that excited about the play call, but you guys make a very good point. I mean, the plays are clearly just not being executed, so it's really hard to, you know, criticize the play call, but I am still thinking we need to run a little bit more up-tempo. You know, and of course we need to run the ball to give our defense a little bit more time to rest. But, you know, here's what I wanted to add. You know, here's one thing I noticed, guys. You know, first of all, you know, I really noticed how unphysical defense was after watching the Texans game, realizing, man, we really are missing some intensity here. You know, it's been a while since I've seen that on our defense. But really, what really kind of stood out to me, guys, is I realized David Wilson just may not be, you know, the blocker that we all want him to be, no matter how much effort he puts in. And what I think part of the problem is he is so far back in the backfield. Have you guys noticed he's like almost 12 yards back, it seems like? I mean, it just seems... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to. I agree with you, Steve. It's basically because of the offensive line, though. That's what the heart of this argument is and the point you're bringing up. It's hard for anybody to get penetration when they're not getting blocking up front.
And somebody brought this up earlier in the show. You get Cian Boss back, and maybe things will get better. Well, it's one thing for Cian Boss to be physically healthy enough to play. It's another thing for them to be healthy enough where they can play to the level that you need them to play at to be effective. Remember, Cian Boss are on the field for the worst Giants offensive line performance we've seen in a long time. Now, Pro Football Focus actually gave David Boss a pretty good grade for that game when they graded out the offensive lineman against Carolina. So I can't assign blame to individuals. But let's not think these two guys are going to be your saviors coming back here when they were part of the problem against Carolina in Week 3. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, we just need a little bit more, you know, quick passes, and we got to get David Wilson some space. Okay, we realize we're lacking up front. So it's time to adjust. So clearly I think we can all agree with that. I mean the plays have worked over the past, but right now we just don't have the offensive line, so we got to make some changes. And like I was saying, I think David Wilson is better off watching Eli's backside rather than trying to block some linebacker coming up the middle. You know, it just seems as though, you know, that's, you know, Eli's pretty, you know, he's pretty nifty about stepping forward when he needs to. At least David Wilson could, you know, block the backside. I, like everybody else, I'm dumbfounded by the fact that Darrell Scott is taking this man's time. I mean, I have no idea why that's happened, but it bothers me. So, guys, I'm not going to take up much time. Great show as always.
Thanks,
and,
Steve.
And look forward to hearing tomorrow. Thanks,
Steve. Appreciate it. Thanks so much for weighing in.
I got to record some voiceovers, Lance. Can you handle this the last five minutes?
You can handle these, Lance. Are you sure you don't want to continue this joyride?
Well, who's
next?
It's been
a blast
so Dave's
far.
In Rochester.
You might as well hang around for Dave.
I want to hear from Dave.
All right, Dave. You're up. What's happening?
Oh, man, this is the best show ever. I mean, freaking – and we got Ann Sheila Shell, man. She's got more voices than, like, Don Rickles. Did you see – I don't know if you saw on Twitter, V. Fontana put OMG. Can you imagine her husband?
No, man.
Imagine him coming home from work and she's just cackling at all about throwing out the garbage and how Eli should be in the stand selling popcorn and running out and making plays.
Now, there is a possibility, if she lives in the D.C. area, maybe she's married to a Redskin fan and he actually takes pleasure in this. And maybe he's been driving her so nuts because of the Giants' 0-4 record. It's driving her to these phone calls. I think we're putting together a nice little potential picture here that her Redskin fan husband is driving her to this type of rage on a morning,
she's
on a morning basis.
She's dreaming of RG3, apparently.
Yeah. That's great, man. But, we did a lot of Knicks talking, but I mean, it could be a serious issue. I think someone also tweeted that Knicks' play, we talked about him this being his show me year, is, you know, we're trying to figure out what the problem is. There's that possibility if Knicks continues this kind of play. He's only got 230 yards so far this year. Could there be a contract issue at the end of the year where maybe he's not with us next year?
Well, it depends how much he wants. It depends how much he demands. It depends how much other teams believe he can bounce back. But I think it's a fair question to ask at this point, Lance. Have the large number of injuries, both minor and major, that he suffered over the first 3 or 4 years of his career taken a toll? And is he ever going to gain back that elite explosiveness that made him look so good in his second or third year in the league? Look at Miles Austin. He came into the league on fire, was an unbelievable player. Breaking tackles, run after the catch, pulls his hamstring 2 or 3 straight seasons, has never been the same player since.
Well, you have to definitely take that into consideration, the fact that maybe he's not fully healthy. But, you know, I'm still seeing him run routes. I think it's more of a miscommunication between Eli and him.
Hopefully you're right.
That's what I'm seeing over the first couple of games, because it's not as if Akeem Nicks is not in position to make catches.
You know what? He actually did get behind the defense a couple times last week. That's fair.
And perhaps it's what one of our previous callers brought up, that the lack of training camp reps and the lack of OTA reps have come back to haunt him somewhat.
I will say this. Dave's right, though. If he doesn't turn this around and start, you know, being more productive, if you take this and multiply it by 4, his production, that's about a 900-yard season for him, give or take. I'm not sure how many catches he has on the season. You could probably look it up. He probably has, what, like 8-something? He probably has something, what, 15, 16 catches, something like that on the year. Finishes with 65, 70 catches, 900 yards, something like that. And he wants a top wide receiver contract. I don't see how the Giants can give it to him. Of course, that also depends on what Ruben Randle shows the rest of the year. He's been extremely quiet, too. So Giants have to figure some stuff out with that.
Well, Johnny, I think you're right. That's what I have to worry about. He's going to at least want cruise money.
You would
and
think.
The Giants are going to say, well, you didn't do it this year. And then, you know, and another team's going to offer him cruise money, I think.
I would think so, too.
But,
thanks, Dave.
There's always a team multi-span. All right, Dave. And Akeem Nicks has 12 catches for 230 yards. But see, Akeem Nicks, he may get offered big money elsewhere, but that doesn't mean that he can hold back, John. He's still auditioning somewhat, whether it be for the Giants to stay with them or to make an impact elsewhere. He still needs to play at a high level in order to rack in that type of money.
Do we know if Ann in D.C. calls up Marks and Dettino, or does he just call us? Do we know the answer to that? I'd love to have her interact with Dettino. I think that would be extremely entertaining. Do you know how exasperated he would get? He would slam stuff down. He'd have his head in his hands. I think he had to power walk an extra 3 or 4 miles just to get the phone call out of his system.
I mean, he could be an emotional wreck. He was an emotional wreck last week. Supposedly, the callers got him all worked
well,
up.
Well, on the plane ride home from Kansas City, he was supposed to pass on some important information about a college football game we're doing this next weekend on Saturday, and he forgot to pass on the information because he was so, like, zoned out because of the game.
You can tell. It's already taking its toll.
It's getting to him.
That's why we need to spice up Wednesdays and Thursdays.
He was also very upset about the walking conditions in Kansas City. Bad walking city, according to him. He was not pleased with it.
But the weather was good.
Yeah, he said there wasn't good places to walk. He said they were giving him bad directions.
It's unbelievable.
Well, he walked down, and I didn't witness this. Somebody told me the story. He was, like, accosting the concierge at the hotel, trying to get a good walking route, and he was not happy with the advice he was being given by the concierge for a walking route.
They didn't develop the Paul Dettino phone app for sidewalks something in the vicinity. I'm stunned. That hasn't hit the market yet?
No. You know what? We got there too late to check it out, but there's a very, very elaborate and large World War One museum. It's like the National World War One Museum right in the middle of downtown Kansas City. It looked very nice. Did not have a chance to check it. I was too busy stuffing my face with barbecue for the third out of 4 weeks this season. My goodness, I put on like 8 or 9 pounds. It's been bad.
Well, that's what happens. You get the red carpet treatment. You go on the road.
But Dettino was upset with the walking routes.
201-939-4513 is the telephone.
We'll see you on Friday, folks. I'm going out on a high note.
Right,
see you later.
John, we'll speak to you in a bit. I'll take at least one more call. We go to Haley in North Carolina. Haley, what's happening?
Yeah, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. What you got?
I just wanted to say, you know, ain't nobody really had the chance.
Wait, Haley, I don't mean to cut you off. Do me a favor if you could lower your internet. We're hearing feedback on replay, so if you could just turn that down and then continue.
Okay.
Thanks so much. Appreciate that.
All right. Is this better?
That is loud and clear and much better. Appreciate it. Continue.
All right. Okay. Well, due to the fact that the new NFL rules with practices, no more 2-a-days, 3 days a week, the offensive line never had a chance to gel. And by the offensive line not having a chance to gel, the rest of the team is just looking horrible. You know? And I just wanted to say with the Hakeem Nicks issue, if he don't step up, we need to get rid of him.
Well,
Crew's the only receiver doing anything.
And that's why they'll have the flexibility when he's a free agent to determine whether or not they want to bring him back. The Giants are not necessarily in a position where they have to bring him back. They'll continue to evaluate him over the course of the next few games, and that will determine how high or how low his value is. So they have some options regarding that. But I think you brought up a great point, Haley, about the lack of two-a-days, the lack of practices compared to previous training camps. I think it's not just taking a toll on the Giants, but I think we're seeing this across the league. You're not seeing teams as crisp. You're not seeing offenses click, defenses click, because you're right, they're not on the field that much anymore. The new CBA cut down the amount of practices, specifically the amount of practices with these guys with pads on. And therefore, you're not seeing results translate from the limited practices to games. Whereas back in the day, you know, they would grind these guys and run them into the ground. Yes, and that could have tired out players, but at least they were getting tested so much that they were at least getting that onto the field. And we're not seeing that consistently throughout the course of this season and even last season.
You're right. And, like, especially, like, with the running back, the fumbles, you know, fumbling. I mean, it happens. Great running backs fumble. But Wilson, instead of running the screens with Scott, run them with Wilson. Because Scott can't catch no ball, for one. At least Wilson can catch the ball.
Well, and Steve from D.C., and Haley, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. Steve from D.C. had also echoed those very same sentiments that Terrell Scott should not be eating into David Wilson's playing time. I think part of the rationale, at least, is that maybe they don't feel David Wilson can play X amount of snaps yet. You know, and they're trying to work him along slowly till he builds up an opportunity to take on a certain amount of snaps that they feel would be comfortable for a starter. Right now, I think they're trying to balance it out with the running backs. And don't forget, Andre Brown is eventually going to come back, and he's going to eat into David Wilson's snaps as well. Now, I'm sure a lot of Giants fans out there are not going to complain because Andre Brown has proven that he can be productive versus Darrell Scott, who has had his fair share of struggles. You would assume that as these weeks go on and the offense continues to struggle, you now have four games. If you're Kevin Gilbride, I'm sure he's looking at the video, he's looking at the film, however you want to word it, and he's trying to fine-tune this offense, whether it be changing personnel, whether it be changing the scheme, getting the running backs out into the flat quicker so Eli Manning can just dump it off. You know, I find it hard to believe that they're looking at the film and they're saying, all right, we're just going to carry out the same exact thing the following week. You've got to go back to the drawing board at this point. You want to say one game, you're not sold, it may have been a hiccup, that's fine. But when you see it for four consecutive games, that to me is a sign. We'll see what happens. It's going to be a good test against an Eagles defense that has some different looks compared to what they saw last season because you obviously have a new defensive coordinator. But they've struggled against the run and they've struggled against the pass. They had a golden opportunity against Carolina, a banged-up secondary. Kansas City's not been good against the run. The Giants at least took advantage somewhat of that. But now you're waiting for one game where they get the running game and the passing game going. We've had flashes. We've had signs of life here and there, but no stretches, no consistent drives. Third downs have been an immense struggle. The only way you get better regarding that is you have productivity on first and second down. And that's going to be the goal come this Sunday. But it's not going to be a quick fix overnight, I'll tell you that. It's just a matter of them getting better in practice. I think that's where it really needs to start. Getting five offensive linemen to practice together so that then you can carry that into a game. And having the tight ends improve in terms of pass protection. How about that? So on a third and one, when Wilson runs out to the edge on the right side, he can easily pick up the first down and not have to be met by a defender before he barely gets the handoff. It's little things. They're all adding up, and they're all adding up towards the wrong direction. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Keep that number handy because that's what you'll be able to call in with the next couple of days. Anita Marks and Paul Dottino will take you Wednesday and Thursday. John Schmelk and I will be back on Friday as we will continue to preview this Eagles matchup. We'll give you the latest injury news, and hopefully the Giants will show signs of progress in terms of mentally and physically over the next couple of days so that they can right the ship back home at MetLife Stadium, because as a number of you have voiced, the fan base is itching for a better product, and time is of the essence right now. If a lot of you believe that they still have a legitimate shot from a mathematical standpoint to get back in this division, and I agree with you, it's got to start Sunday. You can't keep having this conversation and hoping that your divisional foes keep losing. Because eventually, you figure somebody's going to go on a run. Maybe it's going to be the Giants. Maybe it's the Cowboys. Maybe it'll be the Eagles. Maybe it'll be the Redskins. But somebody eventually is going to catch some fire. I find it very hard to believe that the entire season is going to be this up and down performance. You would assume as the season progresses, somebody is going to gain some consistency. So that will be something to keep close tabs on. Right now, the Giants can only be worried about their own situation. Appreciate all the phone calls, no matter how wacky and crazy they got this morning. But we do appreciate the fan participation, and this will continue to be an outlet for you to voice your opinions and frustrations. Hopefully, it will get a little bit more positive in the weeks ahead. Hashtag Giants Chat you can use on Twitter as the conversation continues, and you can continue to follow and interact with me at Lance Medow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. For John Schmelk, I'm Lance Medow, signing off here on Giants.com. Big Blue Kickoff live with you each and every weekday morning at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. Have a good one. Paul Dottino and Anita Marks, we'll see you tomorrow. Enjoy.